Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We're joined by Dr. Daniel Pipes, one of the country's preeminent authorities on matters involving the Middle East and Muslim history. He is, of course, the founder of a marvelous organization in Philadelphia, the Middle East Forum, a published author many, many times over, and a man that we turn to for insights on these matters with great appreciation. Dr. Pipes, thank you for joining us. Welcome back.
Good morning. Thank you.
Talk to me a little bit, if you would, in sort of the macro sense of what makes the Middle East such a dynamic, indeed volatile and dangerous part of the world.
It's hardly the only threat. I mean, look at North Korea these days, China, Russia, Venezuela. But the Middle East presents the most crises. First, there's WMD, weapons of mass destruction, Iran and Syria in particular. Then there's the ideological threat of Islamism, which is everywhere, but particularly prominent in countries like Tunisia, Egypt, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Iran, and Afghanistan. Then there's a problem which doesn't get much notice, which is anarchy. The Middle East is known for its repressive regimes, but those repressive regimes have a tendency to collapse, and one finds anarchy instead. And I can give you a long list of countries over the last 30 years, which have descended at least in part into anarchy. Perhaps the most dramatic of them is Somalia, but also substantial parts of Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, Lebanon, Syria, Yemen, Mali, on and on. Then there's terrorism. We tend to pay the most attention to terrorism against Israel, but the actual largest amounts of numbers of terrorist incidents and fatalities are in Pakistan and then in Iraq as well as in Israel. Egypt is on the verge of potential economic collapse. There's going to be hunger in Egypt unless something dramatic changes.
Yeah, all of these come together in a truly critical mass, as it were. We are talking with Dr. Daniel Pipes. He is just treated us to a very quick and daunting array of problems that are afflicting the Middle East and, as a result, the rest of us. And Dr. Pipes, I want to pick up on something you touched on just at the end there, economic collapse in Egypt. We have been throwing a lot of money at the place since the Muslim Brotherhood took it over. Is that likely to stave this off, or is it simply, in a way, money down the rat hole and the problems are much more systemic and therefore intractable?
Let me just add, not only are we selling money, but we're selling tear gas to the regime.
140,000 canisters at the last count, right?
I cannot see how the regime is going to find its way out of the economic problems it has. Every single source of income is down, and expenses are up. And the regime is totally focused on solidifying its grasp on power and is paying almost no attention to the economic.
You mentioned in particular some stunning statistics yesterday in the lecture, the Henry Jackson John Kyle lecture, Dr. Pipes, about the food crisis that is confronting. This was a country that, with the fabulous resource of the Nile, used to be a breadbasket. What's happened?
Gamal Abdel Nasser happened in the 50s and 60s. Changed the agricultural system, and now Egypt imports, in absolute terms, more food than any other country, and in relative terms, imports more than half of the caloric intake. So Egyptians cannot feed themselves, and they need hard currency to buy wheat, fava beans, and other staples on the world market, and they don't have the money.
And as a result, there is likely to be a further stressing of the system. The Muslim Brotherhood, as you were suggesting, is keen to exercise fully the control that it finally has obtained. Where does this likely lead them? Does it cause them to lash out, or is it a descent into anarchy there as well?
Yeah, it's a very good question, and I can't answer it, but I think those are the two main alternatives. One is that the regime uses the economic travails as an excuse to crack down harder and succeeds in doing it. And the other is that revolts occur and it's pushed out of power and one has at least pockets of anarchy. In a country, Egypt, which has historically not known anarchy, historically Egypt is known for central government rule. It's very strong, but we already see the incipient beginning of it with Port Said, which is in rebellion against the central government.
We are talking with Dr. Daniel Pipes of the Middle East Forum. He's the publisher also there of its marvelous publication, The Middle East Quarterly. And over the years, Dr. Pipes, you have written personally about and published others on a very important sort of microcosm of this phenomenon you've described, and sort of showcase for what is going on with respect to American policy at the moment, namely Turkey. Tell us what's happening there and what it means not just for the Turks, but for the region and for us.
Well, Turkey historically in the 20th century was the most Western-oriented Muslim country, the best ally of the United States among the Muslim countries, and yet in 2002 had a dramatic change in an election and has turned away. American policymakers as well as other policymakers have not recognized this and continue to try and treat Turkey as it was of old. And yet the Turks are having joint exercises with the Chinese, playing footsie with the Iranians, and so forth. President Obama literally hugs the Prime Minister of Turkey, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, and there is a blindness.
His best foreign friend, I'm told, considers him to be.
Yeah, exactly.
A blindness indeed. And I guess one of the key points you made in the Jackson Kyle lecture yesterday, which will be available shortly at securefreedom.org, is the degree to which we're dealing in the Islamists of Turkey with a more cunning and skillful adversary than perhaps in the Muslim Brotherhood's practice elsewhere.
Yes, the Islamist movement has been undergoing some dramatic changes. What began as violent and brutal has evolved, in part, into something much more sophisticated, political, gradual, and consensual. Now, that might sound like good news, but in fact, I don't think it is. It is much easier to fight a Bin Laden than it is an Erdogan. Erdogan is sophisticated and democratic and building the economy. And yet, in the end, he seeks the same goals as a Bin Laden. So,
very troubling indeed. A worrying adversary, to be sure. Dr. Pipes, let me close with something you've written about recently, a provocative piece about Syria. And actually, it had the title of Support Assad. You were clear in your comments yesterday that it's a more nuanced recommendation there. Tell us quickly, if you would, minute and a half, what your thoughts are on Syria at the moment.
We have two malign forces going at each other. The Assad government, which is horrific, and the rebel forces, which in general are Islamist and also horrific. I don't want either side to win. I think we're better off having Hamas fight Hezbollah, having Iranian-backed Islamists fighting Turkish-backed Islamists, than either side winning and turning against us, turning against our allies. So I take a balance of power approach, divide and conquer approach, which is let them fight each other. And if Assad is losing, which it appears to be, let's support him. If he's winning, let's support the rebels. Let neither side lose, let neither side win.
Yeah, and if he is not either winning or losing, stay the hell out of it, I guess.
Exactly.
Well, it seems like a sensible enough approach. I know that it has prompted some controversy because of the odiousness of the Assad regime, and few have been more clear about what a horrific government it is than you, Dr. Daniel Pipes. So I know this is a very thoughtful and, I think, important contribution to the debate we ought to be having about our policy towards this very problematic nation and, indeed, towards the region. Daniel Pipes, thank you again for joining us, for talking us through what is a most important and dynamic part of the world at the moment, and one that I think we're not doing a particularly good job of managing. We'll look forward to visiting with you again very soon about it. Next up, we'll be speaking with Michael Turner, member of Congress, about strategic forces and missile defense and much more. Straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.